And I praise God for His mercy and for His kindness. Let's read in the book of Psalms. I would like to share with you Psalm number 13. I would like to share with you. I had a couple of new sermons that I haven't preached since maybe 6 months ago. But, you know, when I go to churches, I like to go ready. I don't like to go with something in my mind. I just like to go be ready for whatever a preacher says. We're just going to go and be a blessing to somebody. That's our prayer all the time. And preacher said, "You're going to preach, Brother Adrian, tomorrow." And I said, "Okay, that's great." And my wife always asked me, "What are you going to preach about?" I always say this to my wife, "I don't know. I don't know." And I always preach to her on the truck, you know, on our trips and all that. I'm always preaching to her. But she always asked me, you know, "Where are you going to preach?" And I said, "I don't know." Because I like to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit put this in my heart. Because I know, you know what, when God does that, it's because someone right here needs it. And I came here for that someone. I wish I came here for every single one. Amen. But we know. And that's the prayer of every preacher, that all the members of the church will hear and learn it and keep it and practice it and live it, right? That's the prayer of every preacher, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes it's 95% of the church, 99% of the church, or 50% of the church, or 10% of the church. But my prayer is that every single one of us that is in this room will hear this word from the Holy Spirit and keep it in our hearts, but also practice it and live it in our daily lives so we can be a light for the lost people. Amen. And my brother and sister, if you're not saved today, I pray that you can come to Jesus and finally surrender and just open your heart to Him and accept Him as your Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's pray before we do anything. Father, we love You. Thank You for everything You have done in our lives, Lord. And thank You for this wonderful day You gave us. Lord, thank You for giving us more time today, Lord, to live. But also, Lord, as we know that we're dying in this life, Lord, help us to live in the Spirit. Like the Apostle Paul said, that we should be dead in the flesh, but alive in the Spirit. Lord, please help us to be alive this morning in the Spirit so we can hear Your word, so we can go home different, Lord. Lord, and please help us to understand what You have to say to us. And Holy Spirit, You be the guest of honor in this meeting and meet with us just like You've done already. But Lord, please help us today. We need You, Lord. We need You. But Lord, all we want to do here, we know we have problems. We know we have struggles. We know we have sorrows. Lord, we have temptations in our lives and tribulations. But Lord, please help us just to glorify Your name today. And just recognize that we are nothing and You are everything we need, Lord. Lord, thank You for everything You have done so far. And thank You for answering my prayer already. Lord, we love You. And we praise You for everything. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I would like to read this small chapter of the Bible, or this small book. And I want to read it to you, and you can follow me. It says, "How long will Thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will Thou hide Thy face from me?" We're reading Psalms 13. And we're reading the whole chapter. It says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in Thy mercy." Praise God for verse 5 and 6. Amen. "But I have trusted in Thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me." You know, we're reading here in the Bible that a man named David wrote this little portion of the Bible, this psalm, number 13. And, you know, I believe that other than, you know, after the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, David is a perfect example of a Christian life. Why? Because he was a man just like me and you. He was a man with struggles, with problems, you know, and I mean, he was sometimes in the mountain and sometimes he was in the valley, right? Sometimes he was like, he was the best and, you know, the best of the best. And sometimes he felt like he was not worthy of anything. You know, and David, the Bible actually says that God chose David, and he actually said about David that David was a man after God's own heart. So David had the credentials from God, so he could be a proud man and say, "Hey, I am the man that God chose, and you're supposed to live just like me because God said this about me." But David was a very humble man. Amen. He was a father. He was not the best father in the whole world. Amen. He was a husband, but he was not the best husband in the whole world. He was a king, and he wasn't the best king in the whole world. He was a man, but he wasn't the best man in the whole world. And you know what? When God talked about him, he said, "This is a man after my own heart." But you know what? David was the same man that wrote the Psalm 23rd. Do you know that one? It's not that a beautiful psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen. He said, "And I shall not want." And he started bragging in the Lord and bragging and bragging. And you know, he's going to take care of me. And even if I'm in the, you know, in the valley, shadow of the valley of death, and he's going to take care of me, and he'll be there for me, and he'll provide for me. And he's just bragging and bragging and bragging about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. He's my shepherd. I'll be fine. Everything is going to be okay. But the same author of that psalm is writing in a different point of his life. He's writing this these words that we just read. And he says, "For how long would thou forget me, O Lord?" Think about this. The same man that wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to take care of me. He's going to be providing for me. Even when I feel alone and about to die, he's going to be with me. And I know he's going to be there." That same man, he's writing this and he's saying, "For how long will thou forget me, O Lord?" Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? O Lord, for how long? How long should mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, "I have prevailed against him." And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. It doesn't sound right here that he's bragging. This pretty much sounds like a broken man. This word sounds like a man living in depression. These words right here is about a man that he's not talking about his crown. He's not talking about anything else, but just talking to God and saying, "God, for how long am I going to feel like an orphan? God, I know I'm your children. God, I know I'm your child. I know I'm yours, Lord. I know I belong to you. God, I know I'm saved. But God, I don't feel saved right now. God, for how long you're going to forget about me? For how long you're going to forget about me?" Think about that. David is coming to the Lord and saying, "God, I'm not the best Christian. God, I'm not the best father. God, I'm not the best king. But Lord, for how long am I going to feel like this, that I don't even think that you know my name anymore? God, I don't even feel your presence anymore. God, I don't feel that joy anymore." When the choir started singing, and they started singing, and everyone is, you know, raising their hands. It's just saying, "Hey, man, praise the Lord and everything." God, I don't feel like that anymore. God, I don't feel like every time I go to pray in my prayer closet, or I go to the altar, whatever, I don't have words to say. I don't have nothing to say, Lord. I feel dry and dead as can be. God, for how long will thou hide thy face from me? David is telling the Lord, for how long, God, you're going to be hiding from me? Have you felt like that, brother and sister? Have you felt like you come to the Lord and then there's nothing over there? And you feel like as lost as you used to be, right? You feel so far, 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 far away from the Lord. And you feel like your prayer, life is not the same as it used to be. And you know what? Sometimes when we pray and we were talking to the Lord, you know, because prayer, that's all it is. In Spanish, we have two different words for praying. One is rezar, which means rezar. It's a word that the Catholics use, and it's the same word as the Hindus use and the Buddhists. But rezar is a different word but it's translated in English as prayer. But it actually means rezar is just to say the same over and over and over and over again. The same words, the same chants, the same prayer over and over and over again. That is rezar. But the other word is orar. And orar means literally just talk. Just talk to God. And I believe that's the way we should pray. Amen. Just talk to God. You're a children of God. You're supposed to talk to God. Amen. So you know your Father. You know, can you imagine your kids coming to your house and saying, "Oh, Holy Father, I would like cereal and bread. Oh, Holy Father, I would like cereal and bread. Oh, Holy Father, I would like cereal and bread. Oh, Holy Father, I would like cereal and bread. Oh, Holy Father, I like cereal and bread." He said, "Son, I heard you the first time, but you can stop now. Don't say the same thing over and over again. You're going to scare the neighbors. They're going to think there's something wrong with you. You know, but it's better like, Daddy, can I have a glass of water? Daddy, can I have a piece of bread? Daddy, can you help me with this? Daddy, I don't understand this problem. Would you help me?" That's the way that a children should talk to his father. Amen. But you see, David is talking here to God. There's nothing wrong with saying the same prayer, the prayer request over and over again, because God wants us to say, like, if I have a need for somebody's salvation, there's nothing wrong if I come to the Lord 20 times, 1,000 times a day and beg for that person. There's nothing wrong with that. Actually, God loves that. Amen? Because we show that we really care for those people. Amen? But David is doing the same right here. I picture this king, you know, being in his throne and a mighty man, you know, a mighty warrior. And, coming with, talking to the people. People would come and say, "King, we don't know. He stole my gold. What can I do? Whatever." And king will say, "Well, let's do what the book says." And, he will be as a judge and a king and a ruler and everything. But in his devotion time, in his free time, I can picture this man just being broken and depressed as can be, and just going to the Lord and putting his crown to the side and just falling on his knees and say, "God, for how long you're going to forget me? God, for how long would I hide that face from me? God, for how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? For how long, God?" And I picture this man getting this little piece of paper, maybe all yellow and about to, you know, fall apart because where he falls in and fall and, you know, unfolded and all that, reading those prayer requests and asking God, "For how long, God? For how long am I going to feel like this? For how long?" And at the end, when he maybe finished praying, he will put it back in his pocket and just be a king and be a father again. But in his prayer time, he will come to God and say, "God, here I am again. For how long am I going to feel like this, dry and dead and far, far away from you, God? For how long am I going to feel like this? For how long am I going to feel like you are not even thinking about me? For how long am I going to feel like forgotten? For how long, God?" And I feel like that many, many times, amen? I feel like that too. Come on, don't let me be the only backsliding Christian here. I know you feel like that. If David felt like that, let me tell you something, brother and sister. I can feel like that too. Amen. But you see, even when David was talking to the Lord, now let me point this out. David felt and thought that God wasn't there for him. Do you hear what I said? He felt and thought. But that doesn't mean that was the truth. Amen? Because you can feel, I'm saved. And I'm saved to the uttermost. Amen? I know once saved, always saved. Amen? Because I know that no one can pluck me out of Jesus Christ's hand. And he even put it harder. He said, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hands. Amen? So that's pretty hard to do. Amen? But I know I'm secure in Jesus Christ. But let me ask you something. Do you feel saved every day? Do you feel saved? Do you feel secure every day? I don't think so. Because you know why? We live sometimes this Christian life according to our feelings and what we know. But you know, sometimes that is not enough to live this Christian life. That's why the Bible requires us to live by faith. You know, by something that we don't know, but we know is there. Amen? And that is faith. Because if you are expecting something, and you know that it's already there because you've seen it before, then that is not faith anymore. You don't go to work expecting, having faith in your boss. You know, you're saying, oh, I wish he can pay me this Friday. I wish he'd pay me on Friday. No, you don't pray for your boss to pay you because you're expecting that payment already. It's money that you already worked. Amen? You don't have faith on that because you already know it's coming. You know it's there. But when you know that, when you can see nothing, but you believe that it's there, that is faith. That is faith. And that's how the Bible requires us to live. But let me tell you something, brother and sister. Even when David felt like that God wasn't there for him, and when David felt like God wasn't even answering to his prayers, and even when David felt like God didn't even know his name, he never stopped praying. Think about this. He never stopped praying. Why? Why you say that, Brother Adrian? Because it says, how long? Listen something. When you ask to the Lord for how long, that means you've been praying for so long. Amen? And the Bible says right here, it says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? So that means it was something that he was doing over and over and over again, asking to the Lord. But David, that's my first point, and I'm going to be brief, I promise you. David kept his communication with God. David kept his communication with God. Have you stopped in your prayer closet, brother and sister, just because you feel dry and dead and far, far away from God? And you say, you know what? I think God already forgot about me. I think God already quit on me because of the sin I'm living in. I believe God is already, he said, you know, I know God's a loving God, but I know that God also has patience. And maybe God already said enough with you. And maybe God, you know, maybe he has forgot me. Maybe God is done with me. So it's worthless for me to pray anymore. Have you feel like that? Just because you have a secret sin that no one knows? Or maybe because you do the same thing over and over again, and then you repent to the Lord, and they said, you go to pray after you've done it because you knew while you were doing it, it was wrong. You know, sometimes I find myself, when I'm doing the wrong thing, I'm even singing a Christian song in my head. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're doing the wrong thing, and you're doing the... God has been telling you, you need to get rid of that sin, and you need to live holy for me. And you know you don't want to do it anymore, and you're suffering. And while you're doing it, you're just in pain, but you still want to do it. Your flesh is telling you, you have to do it. You have to do it. And you're doing it, and you feel pain already, and you feel convicted already, and the Holy Spirit is telling you, do not do it. Please do not do it. And even you're singing a Christian song in your head, a verse of the Bible pops up in your mind, and you're recording it, but even so, you're doing it. And finally, you do it. And finally, you give pleasure to the flesh, and you feel about this tall. And even a cockroach is taller than me. And a better thing than me. And I fall on my knees and I said, God, you know I didn't mean it. God, please forgive me. And we ask God for forgiveness. And He, you know, the Bible says that He's so full of mercy and He's willing to forgive us. Amen? And He does forgive me. But you know what? I do it again. Right? 3 days later, 2 hours later, 1 day later, a week later, or if you're very, very strong in the faith, a week later. And you do it again, and I do it again. But you know what I do the next time? I don't go to the Lord anymore with that humble heart. I go to the Lord with upset and you know, upset with myself. And I said, God, I don't deserve anything from you. God, you're a holy God, and I'm nothing but just a rotten Christian. God, please, if you forgive me for this one, and then we make a promise, right? If you forgive me of this one, Lord, if you take me out of this one, I promise you I'll do this. I'm going to read my Bible more often, or I'm going to pray more often. And we're trying to help God, amen, in our Christian life. We think that, God needs my help. God needs my help. I need to punish myself because God needs my help. So in order for me to be better. Listen, brother and sister, God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. Amen? And it's God that is working in me. It's not me working in myself. Amen? I'm going to make a mess out of myself if I work in my life like I've been doing. But you know, the third time I do it again. And you do it again. And you know what is my attitude after the third one? I just sit on the bed. And Satan comes to me. And tells me, Adrian, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? You think you're better than anybody else? Adrian, you think you deserve everything that God has given you? And he starts to talk to me. And you know what is the worst thing I can do? Listen to what Satan has to say. And just say, you're right. I don't deserve anything. I'm just going to stop doing it. You see, my friend, Satan doesn't get victory over our lives when we sin. God knows we're going to sin. Amen? He knows everything. And he knows that as soon as after this service, I'm going to mess up. Amen? But you know, that's not the bad thing. The bad thing is when we stop trying. It's when we stop fighting and we just believe the devil and we just stop doing it and stop having a relationship with God. That's what the devil wants out of your life. Listen, brother and sister, every single one of us, there's not a difference between the preacher, your servant, and yourself. There's not a difference between us. We're just the same rotten, stinking sinners, just saved by grace. Amen? There's no one in this room bigger than anybody else. Amen? We're all the same. Have you stopped praying, brother and sister? Have you stopped talking to the Lord? Have you stopped in your communication with Him? It might not be a sin in your life, but it might be just because there was one point in your time, something that after that day, your relationship with the Lord is not the same anymore. And you feel like the Lord is not there for you anymore. He doesn't even know your name anymore. And the life is not the same as it used to be when the first time you got saved. Remember that day? You were so in love with God. And it was your first love. And I mean, it was wonderful. You want to go everywhere and just worship and praise the Lord and everything. I remember a teenage guy that he was in Bible Institute with me. He told preachers, he just got saved. I mean, it was amazing. His life was a total miracle. He was an alcoholic. He was living in the streets. He was sleeping, you know, on the main street, on the roads. And he was a homeless man. And a 17-year-old guy, he got saved. He came to the church. And I mean, I remember he came to the preacher and said, preacher, I didn't understand what you were talking about, but I understood that you said that if I want a new life, Jesus can give me a new life. I want that. And I remember preaching after service, he sat down and he was sharing the gospel with him. For an hour and a half, that kid was asking preacher a lot of questions. And finally, he surrendered his life to the Lord. And he kneeled right there and he gave his life to Jesus. And he was a different man. He stood up like a different man. And I remember he came to me and he saw me and he said, Brother Ramon was his name. And he came to me and he said, I just got saved. This is what he said to me with tears in his eyes and a big old smile. He said, I am saved. And I remember I felt like I was looking at his face and I said, I got a lot of conviction because I was saved for a few years already. And I saw his face and I started to pray the Lord and I said, God, I wish I had that fire again. I wish it was that simple again. And I asked the Lord for forgiveness. And asked him to give me that fire again, that love again. But let me tell you something, brother and sister. Have you stopped in your communication with the Lord? Have you quit in your prayer time? Do not quit, brother and sister. You can't. It's necessary for us. You know, prayer for a Christian is like an air to every human being. Amen. In order for us to live, we need air, we need oxygen. In order for us to live spiritually in this Christian life, and you're walking with Jesus, prayer is much required, brother and sister. We need to pray. We need to pray. And the second point, David, first of all, David kept his communication with God. He was being obedient. You know, the Lord said, pray. Without what? No, without Caesar. Without season. Right? Without season. Which means what? All the time. Amen. You know, season means like not to stop. That's what it means. Right? Imagine that you go to work and you said, oh, I work 40 hours this week. Well, how would you like to say, I work 24 hours today? And I'm still working. That means you haven't stopped working. Think about this. The Bible says for us not to stop to pray. Amen. You can pray while you wash your car. You can pray while you're buying groceries. You can pray while you're watching TV. If you're watching something good that is inspiring you to pray, amen. You can pray while you're taking a shower. You can pray everywhere. And you can talk to your Father and you can ask Him for whatever needs you have. And don't let all the prayer lists accumulate and just put it on a table and leave it there and pick it up later while you're putting your, straining up your room. And you're like, oh, I forgot about this. Well, let me pray about it for 1 second, 2 seconds. We should be praying every single time. Amen. We should be praying all the time. But you see, David was being obedient to God. And because of that, God kept his word with David. And that is salvation, brother and sister. Every word that I say that comes out of my mouth are not eternal. Amen. All the things that I say to you, you know, after the meeting, whatever, if God touches my heart and if God tells me, Adrian, you need to give $500 to this brother. And I go to him and I say, brother, God put in my heart, give you $500. And then, but you know what? I don't have it right now. Can I send you a check next week? And he will say, that's fine, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, I have 7 days to reconsider. Right? I go home. I will be more, you know, I won't be more as spiritual as I was here. And I'll be thinking, you know what? I don't even have $500 for myself. I'm just going to give him a call. And I called brother and I said, brother, well, I already made a promise, but I've been struggling. Listen, it's not going to be $500, but I'm going to send you $50. Is that okay? It's still a blessing, right? He said, oh, yeah, brother, no problem. But you see, all the things that me and you say are not eternal. We can change our minds. Amen? And we do all the time. You know, when you are in the closet and you want to change, you're already ready to go to church. 5 minutes before, you know, we hit the road. Oh, wait a minute, I need to change my dress. Oh, wait a minute, I need to change my tie. I don't like this tie. Amen. And we change our minds. We're not people that when we say something, that's what it is. I praise God that He is like that. I praise God that whatever He says, He doesn't change His mind. Whatever He says that is going to be, that's what it's going to be. Amen. And I praise the Lord for this word of God, that whatever He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I know that even when I feel that He won't be there, He is going to be there. Because I don't have to feel like it. I don't have to, I don't even have to like it. But He promised that He'll be there for me every single time I need Him. Amen. He'll be there for me. So every single thing that He says is eternal. And I praise God for that. God always answers prayers. Amen. I'm just going to tell you this, and I'm done. Praise God. Amen. Let me tell you something. You might never heard about this. Now, this is going to be new. I'm a prophesier here, okay? So please pray for me. Don't get scared. Don't get scared. I'm not a charismatic preacher, but maybe you never heard this before. It's very, very deep. But God always answers prayers. Amen? That was not very deep, right? You already knew that. But you know what? God always, always answers our prayers. Because He is our Father, and He is the perfect example of how to be a father. So He always listens to His children. And not only that, but He also always answers their prayers. And you know how God answers prayers, right? What He says sometimes? Yes. He wants the best for us. And I want to give you an example. What do you want for your kids? Well, you'll say the best. What do you mean? The best of the best? And, you know, whatever is best for him, that's what you want for them? Of course, you'll say, of course, Brother Adrian. You know, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to say it in Mexican. I'm going to quote it. It says pretty much, if your children will ask you for an egg, you'll give him a serpent. If your children, you know, will ask you for a piece of bread, you'll give him a rock. Will you be that cruel to make fun of your kids and just give them a piece of bread and see your little three-year-old trying to bite a rock? Would you be laughing at you and say, oh, son, you're so silly? Will you be doing that to your son? That would be kind of cruel, right? And Jesus Christ said, even if you being evil, think about this, you being evil, sinful man, you want the best for your children. What do you think about God, that He is the good God? He wants the best for all His children. But you know what? If you ask your children, like I said, God always answers prayers, and He does it by saying yes sometimes. You know, sometimes I go to prayer, and I said, God, I know, God, that I have this need. And God, I know you know. And God, please, will you do this for me, please? And it might be somebody gets saved, and all of a sudden, you know, you're praying for this man that you love, or this woman, or some of your relatives, and you're praying for them, and you go to the Lord and pray, and say, God, they need to hear the word of God. They need to accept you as a Savior. And then 5 minutes later, or the same day, you get a call and say, you're not going to believe this. I said, what is it? Well, mom just got saved today. And you start worship the Lord and say, God, thank you for saying yes to that prayer request. Amen. Or when you have a need and for providing everything, and the Lord opened doors, and you know, in 5 minutes or whatever, an hour or whatever, the Lord answered that prayer request like right away. That feels great. Amen. When you know that God is answering your prayers right away and He's saying yes. And you know, but even if you would stop for that blessing, for that prayer request, if you were to stop and reconsider, you'll see that God will be working with that need that you had even before you had it. Amen? Amen? You'll see God working through. And then he was just expecting for you to fall on your knees and make that prayer request. And God will say, there it is. And he does it so he can be glorified. Amen. So we can bring glory to his name. But you know, sometimes God as a father, he has to say, hold on. Right? And we don't like that. I remember my preacher used to say, pray for me because I've been praying the Lord for patience. But this is the way I pray. God, please give me patience right now. I need it right now. You see, because we want the Lord to answer our prayers right away. Right? And we want a yes for everything, but we want it not only, in a month later, we want it right away. But sometimes God has to say, it's okay, Adrian, I'm going to work on it. I'm already working on it, but you need to just hold on. And he needs to tell us, you know, hold on. It's a matter of time. Keep praying. Keep praying. And we don't like that. But, you know, we should wait on the Lord, amen, for all our needs. And wait on him. But the third one, and this was the hardest for me to realize. Sometimes God says no. And you know, I realized that even a no was an answer from God. You know, he has to say no sometimes. Even for good things, well, things that I believe are good, he has to say no. Adrian, how do you want me? Why in the world you want me to give you a Corvette on deputation? That's pretty silly, Adrian. I'm going to have to say no to that one. Amen? You know, if you were to ask your children, okay, children, a family meeting. I want you to give me ideas for a new menu because I want to cook a breakfast for you every day, whatever you tell me right now. So, go ahead. And if you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10-year-old kids, they will tell you, Mom, I would like pancakes with sugar and syrup and swimming in syrup and put cherries on top and ice cream on top and then caramel. And then, just like yesterday. Yeah, just like that. That I was walking on that table and I told one of the ladies, says, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. It was more colorful and more sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And, you know, that's exactly what their children will ask every morning. And you know what? You'll be the best mom and the coolest daddy in the whole town. Amen? Because you give to your children ice cream and all that junk for breakfast. You'll be the best for them. And in your minds, they'll adore you. Amen? But let me ask you something. Is that the best for them? Their teeth are going to fall off in a few years. And they're going to be diabetic. And I'm going to call 911 and report you. But you see, you won't be the best daddy in the whole world. But you know, sometimes as children, we believe that because you're not giving me this as my parent, you're not doing the best for me. Amen? And that's how we think with God sometimes. God, why you say no to this one? God, you knew I need this job. God, you knew I needed to make $12 an hour in order for me to pay my bills. But you gave me this work that I'm making $8 an hour. You know I will make it. But think about this. Think about the whole picture. God wants you to rely on your job or in God. And $8 an hour is going to teach you how to rely on God. Amen. So that's the best for you, according to God's plan. Amen. Oh, but it's not the best for you, right? According to your own plan. Because we won't have any spare money. But think about this. Let me give you an illustration. I'm done. There was two ladies in our church in Mexico. Our church was a very, very small church. And all the people that was there was very, very poor. There still are. An average Mexican in Mexico makes between $7 and $10 a day. Now I'm talking about $10 a day if you have a good job. $7 a day if you are an average person. A day. So that's like $35, $40, $60 a week. So when you tell a Mexican you need to live by faith. They're really living by faith. You know, there's no cable. Now, I'm not telling you this to feel bad about it. Not at all. You know, one time I went to a restaurant, and this preacher, you know, he wanted to order a salad because of me. He wanted to eat a less food because he was convicted because I was eating with him. He took me to a restaurant. And he didn't want to order the steak because he thought that I will feel bad about it and I will say, oh, you Americans eat steak all the time. He felt like that, and he told me that. And I said, brother, don't you ever apologize because you were born in this beautiful land, in this beautiful country. Do not ever apologize for that. You are American, and you shouldn't be proud, but you should be. You should understand that you're blessed. Amen? You're blessed to be an American. Amen? Praise God for that. Amen? But you know, these two ladies in our church, one of the ladies was 90, 95, 96, something like that, and she was still walking. She was still there, you know, on the fire line, and the other one was 80-something, early 80s. And guess what? They were mom and daughter. And you know what? Guess what? These ladies were the best soul winners in our church. They were always sharing their faith. They were always talking to somebody about Jesus. You know, these two ladies, you will see them together and you wouldn't even know who was the mom and who was the daughter. They were so precious. And I remember they were very Catholic. Preacher came to their house one day and he started talking to them and they got saved. They went to church, never stopped going to church. They were there all the time. And you know, they were so faithful. But their house, let me tell you the way they lived. Their house was actually as big as this square right here. This square. That was their house. And the house was made of brick, but that brick that is made of mud with a straw. You know, have you seen that brick? It's like a huge brick. Brother was talking about that kind of brick in Sunday school. But it's a huge brick, like this wide, this big, and made of mud. And their house was made of that. It was a mud house, pretty much. And it was a very, very small house because they were about this size, both of them. And the mom, she came from a different village, but she was a widow. And she became widow when she was in early 20s. She got married when she was like 13 or 12 or something like that. And her husband got killed in a fight when they were like early 20s. They just got one child. That was a lady. So she became widow, never got remarried. And her daughter never got married. And he was always taking care of her mom. So they were best friends. They were everything they had in their lives. I remember this little house. You will walk in this little house, and it was nothing pretty. It was just mud color. You will walk in this house, and on the left side, there will be a table, you know, a rocking table with a couple of plates and cups and spoons. That was their cabinets. On the other side, there was a basket, a handmade basket with a bunch of clothes there. That was their closet. And a twin beds that the preacher gave them because they didn't have beds before. And preacher gave him a couple beds, and that was about it. It was a cable, two couple cables just going on the ceiling, hanging from the ceiling with a bulb. That was our electricity. No TV, no radio, no nothing. And I remember this lady, the youngest, the daughter, her money maker was. She had a basket hanging on from her neck, and she will be walking all over the town at 70 degrees, and I mean, over there it's just hot as can be and no humidity whatsoever. So you become bacon after 10 minutes under the sun. And this lady was walking all over the place just selling candy, bubblegum, lollipops, and pumpkin seeds that she will fry and put them in little packets and sell them. And that was her moneymaker. She will be going all day and walking. Sometimes you'll see her in the little plaza just sitting over there because she was so tired, drinking a glass of water. You know, people will come and buy candy from her, bubble gum. And she will always give him a tract and say, Jesus loves you so much, son. And he has a plan for you and he loves you and he wants you to be saved. She didn't know how to read and how to write. But you memorize verses from the Bible. I remember one time, the mom started to get sick too much, very often. And she started to miss church. And the daughter, eventually, she started to miss church sometimes because she had to take care of her. But you know what? One time, she said that she wasn't feeling good one day. And she went to the doctor. This is the daughter. And the doctor told her that she had cancer. 80 years old, with nothing in life. Not a car in the garage. Not even a garage. Not even a TV. Poor as can be with a dirt floor. With a mom that he was always sick. With no kids, no brothers, no sisters. And she was the only way for her mom to be fed. And she got cancer. You know, when we find out that, I got upset with God. I said, God, why do you do this to these people? She doesn't deserve to have cancer. What is she going to do in life, Lord? Accumulate riches? Is she going to get a lot of money from the stock market? God, she has nothing. And I remember she started to share her testimony one day. And this is what she said. She stood up in the middle of the congregation and she was sharing her testimony. And she said, well, the first day I found out I got cancer, the first thing I did is just stop working and I just went straight home, fell on my knees, and I just started crying and asked God, God, I know you can remove this cancer from me. Please take this cancer away from me, God. God, take this cancer away from me. God, I know you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, I know, according to your Bible, that you can resurrect the dead even if you want to. God, I know you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. God, I know you can cure cancer. I believe you can take this cancer away from me. Please take this cancer away from me. And you know what she said? She said that after that prayer, she felt that God wasn't there for her anymore. She felt dry and dead. This can be. But she kept praying and praying and praying every day to God and asking, God, please remove this cancer from me. I know you can heal me from cancer, God. Please heal me from this cancer. And she will pray and go to church and ask us, please ask the Lord so he can remove this cancer. I just want to take care of my mom. I don't want to die first. I want to take care of her. I want to enjoy her all the time. And I just want to take care of my mom. Think about this. Was that a selfish prayer request? But you know what? She said that she never stopped praying. And one night, she fell asleep in tears because she was praying for many, many hours. And she fell asleep and she said that she had a dream. And she started to share her dream with us. It was a dream. But this is what she said. She said, I dreamed that I was walking in the midst of this forest. And this forest, it had like tall, very, very tall trees. But those trees has no leaves on. It was like an autumn or a fall season. And it was so cold. And I didn't have a jacket. And I was just walking by myself. And she said, and there was no moon in the sky. There was no stars in the sky. So it was very, very dark. And I was just walking by myself there. And I was listening to weird noises all around me. And all those animals just making noises. And I felt scared to death. And I was asking God, God, please take me away from here. She said that all of a sudden she felt that she was in the midst of this swamp. With the water all the way up to her neck. And she said that she started to cry out and that swamp was stinky and it was thick and it was dark and it was so scary. She said, I felt like a 4-year-old girl. I just want to be in my daddy's lap because I felt so scared. And she said, she started crying and said, God, please take me out of here. God, I know you can take me out of here. God, please help me. And she said that this is what she heard from heaven. She said that she heard a voice from heaven saying, I'm not going to take you out of there. In fact, I want you to be there. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down and I'm going to put my arms around you and you're going to be fine. And she said that she felt that the Lord Jesus was beside her after that. And he was holding her and said, everything is going to be fine. She said, I was still in this swamp. I was still in that dark forest. But I wasn't scared anymore. This is what she said. I know the Lord said no to my cancer, and I'm going to die of cancer. But I know that the Lord is going to be with me through my cancer. And He is going to be with me so I can bring glory to His name. When I heard that, brother and sister, I had to worship the Lord. But let me tell you something. If you didn't understand anything of this preaching, let me tell you something. If God doesn't give you grace to answer your prayer or take you out of there where you are right now, if God doesn't give you grace to get you out of there, He's going to give you enough grace to get through it. God is going to be with you, brother and sister. Let's just all stand and let's bow our heads.